right, let's take our Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Well, we pushed one more week into the law. This will be the last week. I told you all I know, and so I'm done. And no, but we are going to not go any farther into the law and of the Christian as far as this is, I think, fifth lesson, maybe sixth. And so tonight we're going to talk about the spirit of the law, 2 Corinthians and chapter 3. If you read 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it's a great chapter about how glorious it is, the part of the Bible we're in now, and the New Testament, and how wonderful it is, and how blessed we are to be in it, and how glorious it is. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, it says, Ye, the Corinthians, are epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not with tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. This is so interesting. The whole thing there says, hey, you're the sign of what we've made. You are our declaration that we have a right to be in the ministry. And he says, God makes us able. But he says, we're able to, through the Spirit of God, to change, see your life change and write something. And we wrote out your lives. And he says that he has made us able ministers in the New Testament. I've thought so much about this and thought about preaching several sermons on it, but understand there's three groups of people. There's people who are proud and God can't use them. There are those who know who they are, but knows God has to use humans and there's a need out there. And so they go do it and God makes them able. Then there's those who look down on themselves all the time and don't look up at God and God doesn't use them. But he says, God has made us able God is able to make you able, and you just got to let God use you and be willing to not spend so much time being down in yourself, but up on God. Who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, this is the law, written and engraven in stones, that tells you which one it is, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away with, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? So it says, hey, if Moses, the ministry he got was so glorious they couldn't look at his face because of the shine, and that was when God was writing the stones, how much more glorious is this New Testament that's written in hearts, not on stone. And so let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us now and we'd understand your truth, and I pray that we would understand the spirit of the law and the truth of the law and the letter, Lord, and I pray you'd speak to us. And Father, we have two truths here that we need to get to understand, and I pray that you would quicken us and speak to us and that you would help us, Lord, because as it says in this passage, we're not sufficient of ourselves. So please help us and speak to us and give us your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. The ministry of gospel is very glorious. The letter kills, it says. Now, he's talking about the letter of the law, certainly. And he says he makes able ministers of the New Testament, verse 6, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, the Spirit giveth life. And then he calls the law, he says, the ministry of death, the ministration of death, because we see in Romans 7, it says, the law was death unto me. Why? When sin came, when the law came, sin came, and I died. The law reveals your spiritual condition, and it condemns you to spiritual death because you can't keep the commandments. And that's why the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And as we said last week, that the law brings us to Christ, and then we're no longer under the law, as the Bible says. But it says in Galatians that when you have love, you go above the law. Boy, that was a big thing last week. We learned when you have love, you go above the law and you don't need a law. Remember that? You don't need a law when you have love, because it goes above that, and you don't just do the thing you have to do. You get to serve God in the sin, and God's Spirit takes you above and beyond that. And there's Romans 8:4 and 2 Corinthians 5, or Galatians 5:18, and other verses. So, and so we see that there's a letter that kills us, but the Spirit, now it's not capital S, it's small s, the Spirit gives life, it says here. It's the Spirit of the law. And the New Testament, not of the letter, but of Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And so it's the Spirit that really matters about something. And let me just give you a few points on this and help you understand the Spirit of the law and the letter of the law and just some things in the Bible here. Number one, it really is about the inside, not the outside. Okay? It really is about the inside and not the outside. Let's go to Matthew 23. The Pharisees were people who were majoring on the minors and minoring on the majors. And they saw every little letter and every little detail. And then to fill in the voids that God didn't happen to fill in, they filled in a bunch of other things. And so they wrote a whole bunch of laws in their Talmud, and so they wrote a bunch of laws basically to say, okay, God says keep the Sabbath holy, but here's what you need to do that. And so they wrote a whole bunch of laws. And here's a cleansing. God said cleanse things this way. But, you know, it doesn't tell you everything about cleansing. So here's how you cleanse every little thing. And then those little tiny details and some of the details of the Old Testament and then some of the man-made things where Jesus ended up saying, hey, you make void the commandment by your traditions. These traditions had no authority. But also, even in the letter of the law Jesus will talk about here, you kept the letter of the law, but you missed the point of the law. And so what's inside that really matters, and they would do all the things outside. They'd fast outside, but they were fasting to be seen of men. So the outside was doing the good thing, the inside was bad. They were doing things for all the wrong reasons. Their outside was clean, and God says, hey, it's not the letter on the outside, it's the Spirit in the inside that matters. Matthew 23. Let's start at verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. That's the Spirit of the law. Judgment, mercy, and faith. Do you know the Bible in the Old Testament is where it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart? It's always Deuteronomy 6, I think it is. God says, hey, you're supposed to love the Lord. God was not without love in the Old Testament, and we were not without love commands in the Old Testament. But he gave a bunch of rules and those laws were to bring us to Christ and to show us pictures of Christ. But underneath all of it, the weightier matters of the law were justice and mercy and love. Justice, for example, they would say, hey, if somebody's animal wanders away and it gouges somebody and he's been warned a bunch of times, now he has to make restitution until this person's better. Why? That's justice. You could squint at the and focus on this little tiny rule, but understand the point of it is be just. Okay, that's the point of it. That's the weightier matters. That's the Spirit of the law. Continue on here. You've been tithing of every little detail, but you've omitted the weightier matters of the law. And you should have tithed, it says. These things ought you to have done. But the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith, these things ought you to have done and not leave the others undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. What's that mean? Little tiny bug, you are like, and you're straining at it, and then you just swallow a camel. In other words, the little things are gigantic to you, and the big things, whew, you don't get them. You miss them. You have no part in them. You're not getting the point. And the big things you're missing, the little things, are your major focus about everything. It says, ye blind guides which strain at the gnat and swallow a camel, verse 24, 25, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrite, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excesses. Thou blind Pharisee, first cleanse that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but within are full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. So it says, hey, listen, it is the inside. Don't wipe the outside clean and leave the inside nasty. It's the weightier things you're missing out on. You're missing the inside. And the inside, the weightier matters, the justice, the purity. Yes, you know how to wash a cup before you drink it. Yet you rob the widow. You're missing the point of everything. And you're missing the point of all these things and the picture that they are. Let me get to Romans chapter 2. It is the inside that matters. The outside is a manifestation of the inside. I'm not preaching that tonight, but don't say the outside doesn't matter. That is not true in the Bible. People always quote, man looks in outward appearance, but God looks in the heart. Bring that into context. 1 Samuel 14 is talking about David's brother. It's not talking about somebody who's living sin in his outside. It's talking about his size and not thinking that he can be the king because how big he is, okay? There's a whole bunch of things that men see on the outside, and it does matter, but the biggest thing is the inside. And so Romans chapter 2, for example, circumcision. And circumcision is this big thing in the Old Testament. And then the New Testament comes, and we see in Acts all these issues about it, and they just says, hey, don't compel them to be circumcised. They don't have to keep the law to be saved. And then Romans 2 talks about circumcision as an inward meaning. And verse 27, and shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law. I'm talking to the Jewish people. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is the outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision, which is outwardly and everybody worries about so much in the Jewish people, is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men and of God. It's a picture of something that happens in our hearts and in our spirits. And it's not the outward thing, it's the inward thing. And so it's even more important to have that inward thing right and what it symbolizes than the outward thing of circumcision. And so we see that it really is about the inside and not the outside. Number two, this does not mean we are not to keep commandments. Okay, very important there. There's a lot of false teaching on that, and people acting like, well, and by the way, when someone wants to transgress, they will start off, I'm going to try to remember to get back to that. Let me not get to that now. Let's go to 1 John 5. I'm going to quote John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. Are we supposed to keep the commandments still? Yes. That's what it says. Keep my commandments. And just to go farther into the New Testament, way down 1 John chapter 5. Are we still supposed to keep the commandments? Even though it's the weight of the law and the heart of the law and the spirit of the law that matters? Yes. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. Okay, are we supposed to keep the commandments? Yes. And Jesus says that, and we're supposed to keep the commandments. The weightier matter is the spirit behind the things, but the letter of the law, it says, kills us. Now, Saul in the Old Testament, he was told by Samuel, hey, go and do not sacrifice till I get there. Saul said, you know what? I need to sacrifice. And you know what? Samuel hasn't showed up and I got to do something here and he sacrificed. And then another time, he killed all the sheep that he wasn't, well, he didn't kill the sheep when he's supposed to kill them, then he sacrificed. And Samuel gets there and says, what have you done? And he says, listen, you weren't here and I had to do something. And he says, hey, God wants you to obey more than sacrifice. In other words, listen, the point was obeying. And your kingdom's taken from you because you didn't obey what I said. Obedience matters. And I'm going to illustrate that to tie that together in a little while. But we are to keep the commandments, though the spirit of the law is more important. Number three. There is, however, a spirit behind the law. There is, however, a spirit behind the law. Let's go to Luke, book of Luke, chapter 13. There is a spirit, however, behind the law. We're going to show this with a couple different subjects. Luke chapter 13 and verse 10. It says, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Okay, that's what they're doing. Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together. She was all the way bent over, head on knees bent over, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, she called out to him, and he said unto her, woman, he called her unto him, and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed in thine infirmity. And he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And he said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, but not on the Sabbath day. The Lord answered him and said, thou hypocrite, dost thou each one of you? Jesus was nice. He never had conflict. Jesus called people names all the time. Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed in the bond on the Sabbath day? He says, listen, you don't get the point of the Sabbath, man. Now, understand, the Sabbath was very strict. I won't take you all the things. Let's go to Exodus. I will. Change your mind. Exodus chapter 35. Keep in the New Testament, though. Keep your finger there, and Luke will go back if he didn't already. It is so strict, the Sabbath day. No one turned to all the things in the Sabbath day. Exodus chapter 35 and verse 2. 6 days shall work be done, but not on the seventh day. And there shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest unto the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. You shall not kindle a fire throughout your habitation upon the Sabbath day. How much work is lighting a fire? Well, it depends on if you have matches. And what kind of wood it is. You're trying with wet wood, then it's a labor. But it says, don't even make a fire on the Sabbath day. It says, you know the Sabbath day you could travel less than a half mile? Do you know if it was a Sabbath day, you could not go down to Kent Des Moines Road? It's about a half mile there. You couldn't go past that. It was so rigid and so strict. And it just says, you shall not work on the Sabbath day. Don't do any work. Okay? And so it says that. It's very strict about that. You may not travel in Exodus 17:29 and other spots. Now, let's look at Jesus goes in there and he heals somebody in the Sabbath day. He says, what are you doing? It's the Sabbath day. Heal them the first 6 days of the week. You don't have to do the seventh day. It's the Sabbath day. Stop. And Jesus says, hey, you go and lead your oxen and your mules, your animals, your donkeys, and you lead them to food. It's not a half mile. You do a little bit of work on the Sabbath day. You're missing the point. I just healed her. It's okay. You're missing the point. Chapter 14, Luke 14, sorry. Luke 14. By the way, we're just in Luke 13, the woman healed, and now we're in Luke 14. Verse 1, it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. Ah, the old eyeing we've talked about. Once you're watched. Oh, it's terrible. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go. And he answered them, which of you shall have an ass or an oxen fall into the pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again these things. Now let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 2. He's teaching them. What is he doing? He keeps on doing things and pushing the Sabbath day. Why? He's trying to show them they're missing the point. They're missing the spirit of the Sabbath day. Mark chapter 2. And by the way, the Gospels are filled with him doing this. He does a bunch of things on the Sabbath day on purpose. Why? He's trying to teach them you're missing the point. Mark chapter 2. Let's go to verse 23. And it came to pass, he went through the cornfield on the Sabbath day. And his disciples began, as they went, to pluck the ears of corn. No. That's a no-no. Okay, that, by the way, now they're violating the Sabbath. Okay? And the Pharisees said to him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day with that which is not lawful? And Jesus does an interesting thing. He takes him back to what David did. And he says, have you not never read what David did when he had need and was hungered? Remember, he's running from Saul? And he and they were with him. How that he went to the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful to eat. There was a showbread in the temple. You were not, that it was for the temple work and the priest, and it was not to be eaten. But David was running from Saul. He went in there and he ate it. Okay? Which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests, and gave them also to them which are with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was not made for man. Or I'm sorry, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. He says, hey, the showbread kept David alive. And we got all the Psalms after that. You would have been stuck way back in the Psalms. You would have had a lot less chapters if David wouldn't have eaten that showbread. Yes, a showbread was given. Another point, Jesus takes him and he says, hey, you know what? On the Sabbath, the Levites do sacrifices, don't they? They violate the Sabbath, don't they? And by the way, when the Sabbath rules are given, they do that. And they labor on the Sabbath day, just like I labor on Sunday, okay? And they did that. And he says, listen, guys, you're missing the point. God did not make you to glorify the Sabbath. He made the Sabbath to give you rest and refreshment, just like he got from it. If your oxen falls into the pit, pull them out. The point is not that you religiously sit there and don't do anything for that day. If your kid is lost and your two-year-old is 0.6 miles away, go get your kid. Okay? You missed the point. It's for you to rest, but if somebody needs healed in the Sabbath, it's lawful to do good in the Sabbath. It's a good thing. Listen, if you have to run 0.7 miles in the Sabbath day to win somebody to Christ, go ahead and do it. And we're hungry and are picking corn. God did not make us for the Sabbath. God made the Sabbath for us to rest us. And you guys misunderstand the point of the Sabbath, and I'm trying to teach you something. The Sabbath is for your good. It's for you to be refreshed. You're missing this. You're rigid in trying to... You just healed that lady in the Sabbath. She was doubled over, and she's been like that for 18 years. And I laid my hand in her. What is wrong with you? You're missing the point of the Sabbath. You've omitted the weightier things. Yes, you tithe on every little spice. But mercy, you don't get it. You missed the spirit of the law. You didn't get it. Let me illustrate this. So I'm sitting in the red light, and there I am, and I see a policeman on the opposite corner. And all of a sudden, cars are coming toward me, and I hear the semi just blare his horn. And I look behind me, and I realize that truck is not going to stop. He is honking for a reason. He's blaring his horn. His brakes must be out. He's coming at 60, and I am 300 feet away. There's no way on earth he's going to stop. I look both ways. Nobody's coming, and off I go through the intersection. Okay? Does the law say don't run red lights? Is the policeman going to give me a ticket? No, you guys have no faith in the police, I tell you what. You people. But the red light ticket that takes your picture will, and but if I'm driving down the road, let me try being more extreme as you lawbreakers, and I'm driving down the road, and you're supposed to stay in your lane, and all of a sudden, in front of me, there's nobody coming toward me, and in front of me bolts out a little kid running out into the road, and I go into the other lane to not run over the kid. Are you supposed to stay in your lane? Yes. Is that breaking the law? Not the spirit of the law. No policeman would give you a ticket for that. No, I am not going to change lanes. You got terrible senses of humor. What's wrong with you? And the policeman says, what'd you do? And you said, hey, she was in my lane. Technically, there's no crosswalk there. Sorry. See you later. Did you miss the spirit of the law for the letter? Right? You follow? So don't do it that way. Okay? The spirit says, hey, the point of it is to keep you safe and not break laws and not swerve in the wrong lane and not run red lights. The spirit of it is this. Now, the letter, I know, stay in your lane, but don't, no, go out of your lane a little bit there. Run the red light as long as nobody's coming. The spirit of the law, it says, hey, it's to keep you safe. I understand there's extenuating circumstance. The point of it is drive safely. The spirit, you follow? You're still stuck in running over a kid. You're not with me. And you understand. You follow me? Nod of your head. Remember, we're teaching you. Amen? Okay, good. Okay, so, and we have preacher coming. He's going to say, I don't know if they understood a word I said. They looked at me and smiled when I told morbid stories. And so you understand the point being, the point of the commandments is something specific. Okay? That's the point of it. And that's the spirit of it. And there's a rule there. Yes, now, when you get rebellious, what you do, oh, this is so true. What you do is you start grabbing, a rebellious person will always do this to you. You start grabbing the exceptions and say, see, there's no rule. Listen, if I was getting ran by a truck, the policeman wouldn't say, go through the red light. And so the red light's not really red light. You know what? If I just kind of half stop and go through the red light, hey, there's times when you got to run a red light. What if your child is dying and bleeding to death and you're on your way to the hospital? You wouldn't stop at that red light all the way, would you? See, that's what they always do when they're rebellious. They take the exception, they make it their rule and say, see, there is no rule. Yes, there is. If you love me, keep my commandments. But don't tithe on cumin and mint. Oh, I had 16 ounces of mint. I tithe 1.6 ounces. Okay, good. But you're robbing the orphans. Okay? There's still rules there. Yes, tithe. It says these things ought you to have done. You kept the commandment. You should have tithed. But do not miss the spirit of the law. And do not be rebellious and say, see, there's no real law. See, there's times you can do this stuff. And so there's no real rule there. And then you just all of a sudden blur all the lines. And there's no line, see, because, no, get the spirit of the law. And if you're led of the spirit, you're not under the law because you are living at a high standard of the Holy Spirit who leads you very, very highly and you do those things. No wonder, that's my next point, but you don't just run red lights. The point of the law is to bring us to a knowledge of sin. And also, the New Testament laws are for our good and for society's good. There's a spirit behind those rules. There's a spirit behind those laws. I say in church, we have certain rules in church, and don't do this, and you shouldn't do this. Okay, we say, get here at, don't come in, get here at 10 o'clock, and it's on Sunday morning. But guess what? On the way to church, you saw somebody collapse on the side of the road, and he pulled over and had to do CPR. Okay, we get it. No problem. Okay. We say, don't get up and walk around during the services. But if you're having a heart attack, you know, have it quietly. And but if you ever having a heart attack, then, okay, get up and get somebody and do it, okay? Because we want that. You guys are terrible. Everything I say bad, you grin at and laugh at. And do those things. And because it's the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law. And we understand the why of it. We understand the why. And if you want to help back there, I think somebody just came in. And so we get those things. So commandments are for our good. Okay, number four. Love is behind the commandment. Love fulfills them. Let me go back to Romans. So it does not mean there's no law. It doesn't mean that the letter doesn't matter. The letter matters. It's just understand the spirit behind it and don't focus only on the letter and miss the point. You miss the point of the whole thing. Romans 13, do not miss the point here. Romans 13 and verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another. He that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For all these commandments, here's a letter, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. Okay, if you love your neighbor, are you going to commit adultery with his wife? No. If you love your neighbor, are you going to kill him? No. If you love your neighbor, are you going to steal from them? No. And so love fulfills these things. Thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment that is briefly comprehended in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is a fulfilling of the law. So once you get the spirit of the law, the letter becomes very easy. Okay? You understand I'm supposed to be drive safe and keep safe and do all the safe things and not be an unsafe driver and keep the rules and keep those laws. If you're a safe driver, you keep all of the rules. But there might come a time where there's an emergency. Okay, you're down in the valley and all of a sudden Mount Rainier erupts and here comes this massive wall of rocks and mud. And yes, you break the speed limit going. And if you have to look for the sign and say, where is that sign that says evacuation route? Get out of the gene pool. You're dead anyway. And but you go and you say, I got to get up. I got to go faster. The wall of mud coming behind me. Okay, break the speed limit. But you're being safe there. Okay. Then you say, well, I never know. There might be. Here's what a revised person does. Well, there might be a wall behind me somewhere of raw lava and rock coming. Why? Because they're rebellious. They don't understand the spirit of the law, and they do not keep the letter of the law. Okay? And so you understand the purpose of that. And so that love is the fulfilling of the law. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 8. Give a good example of this. Talking about the meat we just touched on a little bit last week. So you see the Sabbath, understand the point of the Sabbath. Guys, get the point. It's okay if I heal her. Okay? What are you talking about? What are you doing? I put my hand on her and healed her, and she's healed after 18 years. You missed the point of the Sabbath, guys. Yes, keep the Sabbath fine, but understand there's a point behind it. 1 Corinthians and chapter 8. Now, I thought, what verses did I read? After we read the whole chapter, it's 13 verses to help you understand the context. He's saying, listen, there are people who say you shouldn't eat meat to sacrifice to idols, and I understand that, and that was forbidden before, but what God can cleanse, God can cleanse. And if you struggle with it, now I believe God can cleanse any meat, and I'm fine with it. I can eat it, and there's nothing biblical against it. However, I'm also checking to see if it offends my brother, because loving my brother is also very much part of the law. Okay? So now watch, with that in mind, watch what he says he's going to do about this meat problem, because many Christians are offended when we eat meat sacrificed to idols. It's been sacrificed before. They took that animal to sacrifice to Zeus or Diana, whoever, and they killed it and sacrificed it to that idol. And now some Christian thinks, I can't eat that. That's wrong. It's idolatry meat. Paul says, hey, it's fine. God cleansed it. It's okay. There's no real God there. He's okay. But understanding the spirit of the law and the purpose and the love behind it, the weightier things we see in 1 Corinthians 8. Now, we'll read the whole chapter. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we have all knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things which are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is nothing, none other God but one. For though there are many that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be many gods many and lords many, but unto us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and the one Lord Jesus, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some, with conscience of the idol, unto this hour eat it as the thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we better, neither if we eat not are we worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours, you're not under the law, of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see that which has knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered unto idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when ye so sin against the brethren, ye wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Therefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Can he eat the meat? Yeah. Should he do it? No. If it's going to offend his brother. Okay, read Romans 14. It explains it further and explains that verse 9, 10, 11 a little better. And you understand there's a point. Oh, yeah? Well, I can't eat that if I want to. It's God cleansed it. Quit being so sensitive. No. Say, you know what? Hey, you know what? Let's eat the asparagus over here. Let's kill a chicken. The law, the greater law, the more important thing, the spirit of the law says, I've got to love you and not offend you and wound your conscience and have you hurt and offended. I'm not going to do that to you. Okay, it's more important that you are blessed and I have charity, because the greatest of these is love, and love is a fulfilling of the law, because if you have the weightier thing, you keep the letters. If you understand a drive safe, you understand all the rules, you just do it in general. Okay, because remember, when you have the right spirit and the right love, you do not need a law. The Bible never says, I shall not poke my mother-in-law in the eye. No, it doesn't, thankfully. But it does not say that, okay? But the spirit of the law, you don't have to have every little detail when you get the point. The point is to love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? Well, and so you just say, the weightier things, the point. So is a letter important? Yeah. The Bible says, tithe 10%, you tithe 10%. Bible says you don't steal, you don't steal. Bible says you don't kill, you don't kill. You keep the commandments, but understand the point behind them is even more important. Do not keep the commandment of tithing just right. Don't keep the commandment of Sabbath just right, and then go out and do a bunch of bad things that are worse and miss the point. You would pull your oxen out. So don't get mad at me for healing this woman on the Sabbath, because that's what you would do. Because you understand the point of it is it's made for you to rest. So is the letter important? Yes, but if you focus only on the letter kills. If you focus on the spirit gives life. And it makes you understand the point. And if you're a Pharisee, you focus on the letter and you're white on the outside and dead man's bones on the inside and wicked on the inside, hey, it is only condemning you and showing you that you're a sinner and doesn't give you eternal life at all. If you understand the point, then you understand it. All right, follow that? Spirit of the law, letter of the law? Okay, let's pray. Lord, help us to grasp your bigger truths and get the big picture of your word.